الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, today is the what's today? Today is the 13th of Shawwal, 1433, which corresponds to the 31st of August, 2012. It's a Friday morning here at the Jeddah Da'wah Center. And we'll be going over the tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahmatullah alayh, known as Taysir al-Kareem al-Rahman fi tafsiri Kalam al-Mannan, one of the most profound and simplified and appreciated tafsir in modern times. Because the Sheikh rahmatullah, he was Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di and Sheikh bin Uthaymeen's Sheikh. Okay, so that wasn't many years ago. Ala kulli hal. And I believe we are in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 165, if my memory serves me well. If we have already done it, there's no harm in going over it again. A'udhu billahi as-sami'i al-alimi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Rusulan mubashirina wa munzirina li alla yakuna lin-nasi ala Allahi hujjatun ba'da ar-rusul. Wa kana Allahu azizan hakima. We sent messengers as bringers of good tidings and warners, so that mankind will have no argument against Allah after the messengers. And ever is Allah exalted in might and wise. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, wa anna Allah arsalahum mubashirin liman ata'a Allah wa taba'ahum bisa'adati ad-dunyawiyya wal ukhrawiyya. That Allah Azza wa Jal sent the messengers as bringers of glad tidings, so that whoever obeys them will be granted two kinds of happiness: the worldly happiness and the happiness of the hereafter. Huh? بالسعادة الدنيوية والأخروية. دنيوية from dunya, أخروية from آخرة. Huh? آخرة. ومنذرين من عصى الله وخالفهم بشقاوة الدارين. The same way they give glad tidings to those who obey Allah, that they will have, وعليكم السلام, they'll be happy in both worlds, they also give warning for those who disobey Allah that they will be wretched in both worlds. Who can give us an evidence from the Quran that the one who disobeys Allah in this dunya will be wretched in this dunya? Oh, you added a word there, chief. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. صح؟ Whosoever turns away from my remembrance will have a miserable life. And who can give us an evidence that he will be wretched in the life to come? That's an evidence for the one who disobeys Allah will be wretched in this dunya, will be miserable in this dunya. What's the evidence that he will also be miserable in the akhirah? It's a trick question. Well, I mean, there are many answers, but there's one, if you think ahead. Ahsant. The continuation. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. So the very next, the same ayah tells us that in the dunya he will be wretched, in the life to come he will be blind. And we were speaking yesterday in the lecture that you would need to see, you would need light and you would need to see to go over the sirat. So if a person is blind, would he be able to go over the sirat? No. Even if he had light. So it's important then. Of course there are many other ayat, but this is just one. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So that the humans or the mankind will not have any excuse against Allah after the messengers had been sent. فَيَقُولُ مَا جَاءَنَا مِن بَشِيرٍ وَلَا نَذِيرٍ. So that they will say, no warner or bringer of good news had come to us. قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَشِيرٌ وَنَذِيرٌ. Rather, there has come to you a warner, a giver of good tidings and a warner. فَلَمْ يَبْقَ لِلْخَلْقِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ. So no one has an excuse. But are there exceptions to the rule? Are there some people with an excuse? Or khalas? Sheikh Abdul Majid, long time no see. Would there be people on Yawm al-Qiyamah who can truly say no Bashir and no Nadir came to us?
Yeah. No guide came to us?
No warning. governor came. No messenger was sent. Yes. Yes. There will be people who will say that. As in the hadith in Muslim, which explains the condition of the old man who had Alzheimer, and the crazy person, and the deaf person. Those individuals who did not have means of receiving the message for whatever reason. And the scholars understood from those three, whoever was living in the jungle. So some people were living in the jungles of Africa, and they never really got the message of Islam. So we don't hasten and declare them to be, we say in the dunya they're kuffar. Tayyib, why? They didn't embrace Islam. But we don't go beyond the dunya. In the akhirah, they will be tested by Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because they didn't receive a message. And Allah said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were never to punish anyone until a messenger has been sent. This is the statement of Allah. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So it is inconceivable that Allah will not send a messenger to someone, then will blame them for not accepting a messenger when there was no messenger to begin with. Yani this is logic from knowing the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, yes sir.
Just to be frank, you're mentioning there are two kinds of people right now. Some of which will be punished or assessed on their actions.
Okay.
And some will be judged just, or, I don't know, tested later.
Tayyib. Yes.
So two kinds.
Yes. Those who will be tested later, alaykum salam, are an exception to the rule. يعني الأصل, الأصل in the life to come, there's no اختبار and there's no ابتلاء, because it's darul jaza. It's not darul ابتلاء. This is darul ابتلاء. This is the abode of testing. The life to come is the abode of reward. But these are an exception to the rule, because in this dunya they weren't tested. And so the hadith explains it, that Allah Azza wa Jal will send to them a messenger from him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, who will take the covenant from them that they shall obey Allah. That Allah is commanding you to obey. Do you take the ahd? And they will take the ahd. Then it will be said to them, go and jump into the hellfire. Those who jump into the hellfire end up in Jannah. And those who don't end up in Jahannam. Some will say, but they were told to go jump into the hellfire. But they just took the covenant that they will obey Allah. If they really believed in Allah's names and attributes, they would have believed that Allah wouldn't trick them. He wouldn't tell them to go to throw themselves in Jahannam when they don't deserve it. That test signifies the way they would have behaved in this dunya. Subhanallah. In this dunya, they would have tested Allah, they would have doubted Allah's names and attributes.
Is there a hadith for this?
Yeah, hadith of Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Al-Aswad. Google it,
okay,
if you want.
There was a hadith for the Rasulullah says that
we have the brothers mentioning the hadith about the Prophet ﷺ that the Islam will enter every house. Every house. This, first of all, this is speaking about what will happen eventually. And we're speaking about people that came before. Number one. Number two, let's say that there's a possible contradiction. The way the scholars look at these things is that this hadith is general and this one is an exception to the rule. It's specific. So we don't give the specific any authority beyond what it has been specified for. And we keep the general hadith the way it is understood. Now, good observation. Ala kulli hal. لإرساله الرسل تترى. They will have no excuse because Allah had sent the messengers تترى. In which surah does this word occur? تترى. Is it in the Quran? It is. It's in Surah Al-Mu'minun. It's in Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that He sent His messengers tatra, meaning one after the other, abundant, coming consecutively. If you go back to Surah Al-Mu'minun, you will find it. يُبَيِّنُونَ لَهُمْ أَمْرَ دِينِهِمْ وَمَرَاضِ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَسَاخِطِهِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَطُرُقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَطُرُقِ النَّارِ. They clarify for the people the matters of their religion, and what is pleasing to their Lord and what is displeasing to Him. And they clarify the path which leads to paradise and the path which leads to hell. فمن كفر منهم بعد ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. So whosoever disbelieves afterwards, let him blame none but himself. وهذا من كمال عزته تعالى وحكمته. This is all and a sign, an indication of Allah's perfection, Allah's perfection in His might and wisdom. أن أرسل إليهم الرسل وأنزل عليهم الكتب. That Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them the messengers, and He sent down the books. وذلك أيضا من فضله وإحسانه. And this is also a sign of Allah's bounty over His creation and His goodness subhanahu wa ta'ala. حيث كان الناس مضطرين إلى الأنبياء أعظم ضرورة تقدر. The human being were in such a dire need for messengers or for prophets, and in ways you cannot even estimate. يعني the highest level of need, they needed them. Why? More than we would need oxygen and air to breathe, because anything of the sort will maintain, you know, the life, the worldly life, the physical life. But the revelation will maintain the spiritual life, which will drag on to the life to come and Jannah and eternity. So it's a much more important thing than being able to breathe. Because there are many people who are alive physically, dead spiritually. And many people who are alive spiritually and dead physically. صح? Which one do we want to be of? No need to answer. No, no, people who are physically alive, spiritually dead, meaning people who don't believe. The disbelievers, he's physically alive, spiritually he doesn't believe. Spiritually. The opposite, spiritual life, meaning people whom we mention until now because of their righteousness. Like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Mashayikh, the scholars, the Sahaba. I mean, people say Abu Huraira every day, Allah knows how many times in this world. But he's dead. But in this sense, he's alive because of the athar he left behind him. Na'am. Not in some Sufi way, huh? فأزال هذا الاضطرار. Later, guys, later. So Allah Azza wa Jal removed this kind of need and necessity. فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرُ. So to Allah belongs praise and thankfulness. Huh? The Shaykh said, لَهُ الْحَمْدُ الشُّكْرُ. Does that mean that when you get up from ruku', huh? You say in the ruku', سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ then you say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Can you say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرُ? I mean, the Shaykh said, فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرُ. Mr. Yusuf, is it permissible for you to say when you get up from ruku', رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرُ? You know, ruku'. Okay, then the Imam says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Then you stand upright. Huh? What do you say when you get up? It happens to me, by the way. Whenever I want that one thing that I need at the moment, I suddenly don't remember it. So I excuse you. But can you add wa shukr? Can you say Rabbana laka alhamdu wa shukr? No? What do you guys think? Have you heard anyone say this in the masjid? It's very common. And it is not from the sunnah. It is not from the sunnah. If you read the actual ahadith in regards to what you say, we have many. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا بَارَكَ فِي رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد إلى آخره until the end of the dua. على كل حال, regardless of how many we have, none of them has والشكر. So then it is not permissible for someone to add this word which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not add. Why? Because this is a part of salah where you have to go by the revelation. There are parts of the salah where you have some leeway in the dua. In the sujood, ask whatever you want. And before the taslim, ask whatever you want. Whether it is fariḍa or voluntary, it doesn't matter. And whether it is in Arabic or other languages, it also doesn't matter. Of course, the scholars recommend that you learn Arabic, but if someone is making sujood and he doesn't know Arabic and he wants to ask Allah for something which he doesn't know in Arabic, what does he do? Do we tell him remain silent? And Allah knows what's in your heart? No. Because Allah, the one who knows what's in our heart, commanded us, ud'uni astajib lakum. He told us to make dua. So even though Allah knows what we have in our hearts, we were commanded to actually ask for it. So we tell him, don't make dua because you don't know Arabic, so you're miskin. You're not, yeah, and he's already in need, and now we're making it worse for him. La. So the ulama issued the fatwa that there's no harm. They recommend learning Arabic, but there's no harm in making dua in any language, because at the end of the day, this is not ritualism. This is a relationship with Allah, which is not restricted by language. Huh? Allah created all languages. اختلاف ألسنة الناس من آيات الله عز وجل. From the signs of Allah is the various languages we have. نعم. And Allah understands all languages. On يوم القيامة, the Prophet ﷺ said, there isn't any one of you except that he will speak directly to his Lord, and there will be no translator with between them. No one will need to translate. Because some people don't speak Arabic, and they will die not speaking Arabic. Mashi? So the point being, if you need to make dua in another language, go ahead. But does that mean you become lazy and not strive to learn Arabic? La. Learn. And certain ad'iya, you should try to memorize in Arabic. The ones from the Quran and the Sunnah, for example. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. No excuse. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. No excuse. These ad'iya, which are often repeated, this one every believer should memorize so he can actually use them in the dua. Now, so anyways, getting up from ruku' is not one where you can add your own wording. You have to stick to the wordings of the Prophet ﷺ. Unlike sujood and before the taslim. So the Shaykh rahimahullah made a wonderful dua at the end of this tafsir of this ayah. ونسأله كما ابتدأ علينا نعمته بإرسالهم أن يتمها بالتوفيق لسلوك طريقهم إنه جواد كريم. And we ask him, as he initiated his favor upon us by sending the messengers, to fulfill and complete his favor upon us by granting us the success in following their path. Verily he is the most generous, the most noble. Then ayah 166 reads, لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون وكفى بالله شهيدا. But Allah bears witness to that which He has revealed to you. He has sent it down with His knowledge. This is one translation, because the ayah has multiple interpretations. And the angels bear witness as well, and sufficient is Allah as witness. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, لما ذكر أن الله أوحى إلى رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أوحى إلى إخوانه من المرسلين. It should be لما ذكر أو لما ذكر، على كل حال يحتمل الاثنين. أخبر هنا بشهادته تعالى على رسالته وصحة ما جاء به. After it was already mentioned, or after Allah mentioned what He has revealed, that Allah has revealed something unto His Messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, the same way He revealed unto the messengers who preceded Him, Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, نعم, وداود وسليمان وإلى آخره. أخبر هنا بشهادته تعالى على رسالته وصحة ما جاء به. Here Allah bore witness Himself to the message of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and the validity of what he brought forth. The validity of that. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا وَأَنَّهُ أَنْزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ. That it was sent down with Allah's knowledge. Now the Shaykh said, يُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمُرَادُ أَنْزَلَهُ مُشْتَمِلًا عَلَى عِلْمِهِ. One possible interpretation is أَنْزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ, meaning Allah sent it down, and that which He sent down had the knowledge, which Allah's knowledge is there. Not the whole knowledge, but it's from Allah's knowledge. ماشي؟ مُشْتَمِلًا, يعني it's encompassing, containing the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal as to what He wanted us to learn. Because there are things which Allah did not tell us about. صحيح؟ Specifically when it comes to the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one thing which Allah never mentioned in the whole Quran or the Sunnah is the how. The manner in which the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal are, or His actions. Allah mentioned that He rises over the throne. He didn't mention how. He mentioned how he will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He didn't mention how. He mentioned he had a face. He didn't mention how. And hands. He didn't mention how. So we stop where Allah Azza wa Jal stopped. What Allah did not explain and elaborate on, we don't go dwelling into that, explaining, elaborating on, because if it were important, Allah would have revealed it. Important for us at this stage. Ultimate is important for those who meet Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But Allah set limitations, we stick to these limitations. And we don't dwell with it, because the bab of Asma and Sifat is a musibah. Today in the Ummah, it's a musibah, it's a calamity. Because everybody has his own opinion, and these people affirm and these people negate. And wal'iyadhu billah, Allah Azza wa Jal became the subject of debate among the Muslims. That's something that shouldn't even be discussed. The Sahaba never ever delved into these issues. Huh? What Allah said about the Quran, about Himself in the Quran, and when the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sunnah, "Sami'na wa ata'na." They listen, they hear, they believe, and they wouldn't even go into it. They took it face value. They were Arabs, they understood what the language meant, and they accepted it as that. Now, times have changed and things have changed. أي فيه من العلوم الإلهية والأحكام الشرعية والأخبار الغيبية ما هو من علم الله تعالى الذي علم به عباده. Meaning, it contained the knowledge of Allah, as in it had in it the divine teachings and the legislative rulings and the news of the unseen, which is from the knowledge of Allah that He has taught to His slaves. Sahih? The Quran. Who can give us an example of al-ulum al-ilahiyya in the Quran? The divine knowledge. Ulum al-ilahiyya fi al-Quran. We're just speaking about it. Give me an example of the divine knowledge. Look, all of the names and attributes of Allah. This is ulum ilahiyya, knowledge pertaining to the divine being, Allah Azza wa Jal, the ilah. طيب, what about the al-ahkam al-shar'iyya? The legislative rulings. But is it too early in the morning or what? Or do we need to format that SD card? From the whole Quran, give me an example of an Islamic ruling. Halal or haram? Ma fi shi bil Arabi? Can we get an ayah in Arabic just to please our ears and hearing? One ayah where Allah gave a command or prohibited something, which we can call hukum shar'i, al hukum shar'i fil Quran. ولا تقربوا الزنا صحيح ولا تأكلوا مال اليتيم. All of these are prohibitions and commandments. The different commandments which Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded. I mean, you can't even start to think about them. But this is, so we have العلوم الإلهية, الأحكام الشرعية, والأخبار الغيبية, the news of the unseen. Any examples from that or for that? طيب, anything pertaining to the akhirah, صحيح. إن المتقين في جنات وعيون إلى آخره. إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وعنب. All this is from the غيبية. We have nobody has seen it. نعم. إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار والعياذ بالله. All of these are information of the unseen. نعم. ويحتمل أن يكون المراد أنزله صادرا عن علمه, ويكون في ذلك إشارة وتنبيه على وجه شهادته, وأن المعنى إذا كان تعالى أنزل هذا القرآن المشتمل على الأوامر والنواهي وهو يعلم ذلك ويعلم حالة الذي أنزل عليه, وأنه دعا الناس إليه, فمن أجابه وصدقه كان وليه, ومن كذبه وعده كان عدوه, واستباح ماله ودمه, والله تعالى يمكنه ويوالي نصره ويجيب دعواته ويخذل أعدائه وينصر أوليائه. فهل توجد شهادة أعظم من هذه الشهادة وأكبر؟ The other interpretation is different. What is intended is not that it contained the knowledge of Allah, but the whole process was known to Allah, meaning Allah knew the one whom He sent it to, and He knew the condition of the people to whom He sent. As the Shaykh explained, And the Sheikh said this is alluding then to the objective behind Allah bearing witness here, the objective behind the testimony of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that the meaning is that Allah Azza wa Jal can send down this Quran which contain Allah's commands and prohibitions while He knew it. And He knew the condition of those, of the one whom He sent it upon. And He knows that He called the people to it. And He knows those who obeyed Him, those who responded to Him and believed in Him. So they became His protectors. And He knows those who belied Him and became enemies to Him. So they became their enemy. He became their enemy. And then He made lawful their wealth and their blood. While Allah Azza wa Jal is... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where was I? And Allah Azza wa Jal is giving him the strength, huh? And continuously granting him victory and answering his dua and humiliating his enemies and giving victory to his helpers. I mean, you know the hadith, when the kuffar of Quraysh, when the Prophet ﷺ was making sujood around the Kaaba, and Abu Jahl and these, you know, shilla of losers, they saw, you know, which one of you would go get the left, you know, the leftover of the alaykum salam, when the she camel delivers a baby, there's all this kind of, you know, stuff that comes along with it that is all nasty. So he said, which one of you will go and place it on his head? And they went and they placed it on his head, alayhi salatu wasalam, while he was making sujood. And he stayed there for a while before Fatima came, radiallahu anha, and she removed it off him. Then what happened? What happened afterwards? After Fatima removed it, what did the Prophet do, alayhi salatu wasalam?
He made dua against them
by name. Ibn Mas'ud mentioned 7, I believe, and he said, I forgot the other 7. Allahumma alayka bi al-utba wa bi al-rabi'a wa alayka. He mentioned it by name. Ibn Mas'ud said, Wallahi, I saw all of them dead, thrown in the well on the day of Uhud, on the day of Badr, Ma'arakat Badr. Each one the Prophet ﷺ made dua against, he was killed and thrown into the well. One by one, each one he named. So now, this is from Allah. They harmed his messenger. He made dua against them by name. All of them died in the first battle. What does that tell you? It tells you that Allah is supporting him. Allah's answering his dua. Allah, if one of us right now went and made dua against 5 people, what's going to happen? Usually nothing. Huh? You're the one who end up with trouble. I mean, who has this kind of relationship with Allah? Now, some of the ibadah of Allah do have that. Huh? Perhaps a man disheveled and dusty, huh? Yudrab bil abwab or something along these lines. He's just kicked out when the people see him. Say, get out of here, man. Who's this guy? This is loser. لو أقسم على الله لأبره. If he were to ask Allah and swear anything, asking Allah, Allah will fulfill his qasam. Allah will give him his wish. Until now, and until the end of time, there will be believers like that. We just don't know them. Subhanallah. Naam. So that's what the Shaykh is saying here. And Allah Azza wa Jal is, فَهَلْ تُوْجَدُ شَهَدَةٌ أَعْظَمْ رَدِي شَهَدَةٌ أَكْبَرٌ. Is there then a testimony greater than this one and bigger? وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْقَضْحَ فِي هَذِي الشَّهَادَةِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْقَضْحِ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ. No one can criticize this testimony of Allah except after criticizing Allah Himself, the knowledge of Allah, His ability and His wisdom. وإخباره تعالى بشهادة الملائكة على ما أنزل على رسوله لكمال إيمانهم ولجلالة هذا المشهود عليه. Then Allah Azza wa Jal coupled that with the testimony of the angels, in regards to what Allah sent down upon the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, because of the perfection of the iman of the malaika. الملائكة لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah عز وجل because of what He commands them, and they do what they are commanded. نعم. ولجلالة هذا المشهود عليه, and because of the nobility of that which is being bore witness against or for, which reminded me of something. Now you notice, now we have 2 ayat, which will be nice if we all memorize them. طيب. And these are basically the ayat. These ayat, we can, if we're giving da'wah to the non-Muslims, we can use these ayat. And this is a very powerful message, by the way, if we internalize it properly. We have 1 ayah, I believe, in Surah Al-Imran. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. صحيح؟ نعم. And now we have this ayah, لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمي والملائكة يشهدون وكفى بالله شهيدا. So we have one ayah speaking about Allah bearing witness about His وحدانية, and another ayah bearing witness about the messengership of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which is basically أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So it will be interesting. I don't have it memorized. Inshallah, I will memorize it myself. It will be interesting if we memorize this ayah along with the first one, and they could be used while giving da'wah to the non-Muslims. Because when you mention by nature, when you mention the shahada of Allah Azza wa Jal, يعني in the fitrah, one second, in the fitrah of human beings, Allah made it powerful. In the fitrah. يعني once you speak to a human being, no matter what kind of disbeliever he is, when you start speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal with sincerity and you speak about Allah and His greatness, غصب عنه, يعني even if he avoids it in his heart, there's going to be something. He may hide it, run away from it, whatever, yes. But ultimately, and you all know that, was it Utbah ibn Rabi'ah who came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and you know, when he wanted to negotiate with him the issue, and then Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, Abul Walid, he said, are you done with your offer? He said, yes. He said, then he began to recite Surah Al-Fussilat, huh? Until he made it to the statement where then he put his hand on his mouth and said, Khalas, يعني, before the punishment will be sent. Like Allah destroyed Ad and Thamud. Sahih? So that was a kafir, but he knew that this was the truth from Allah Azza wa Jal. So what I'm saying is, it's important to quote the ayat when giving da'wah to the non-Muslims as well. It's good to have your own words and the way put them, but the ayat have an effect in Arabic. In Arabic, quote them in Arabic, then explain them in the language which you're speaking, because inshallah they are the best words. They are the speech of Allah and much better than what we could come up with. So you know, you couple them with what you have to say. Yes, Ali.
One person.
I don't know. You know, I'm not that good. What you can do is you can go to Islamic City. Okay. ISLAMICITY. It's not Islamic City, Islamic City kind of thing, okay? And when you go to this website on the left, there's a tab called Phonetic Search. طيب. So you basically put in the Arabic words in English letters, the transliteration. So like right now, the ayah is Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa. So you put Shahida. Which ayah?
Ayah
18 of Al Imran. 18 of Al Imran. But just for the benefit, يعني, even though we got the answer now, that website will help you. If you know an ayah in Arabic or even a word of it, you can look it up on that website. Once you put, like, let's say Shahida, you put S H A, however you like to spell it, it will give you all of the places where this ayah occurred. But don't rely on their translation. Okay? I don't endorse the whole website, and I surely don't endorse their translation. So once you get that ayah, you know now the reference, you know it's surah number 5, ayah 25. Go to another website called thetruecall.com. And there they have the Sahih International translation of the Quran. Then you can get the translation from Sahih International. Alhamdulillah. Now, where were we? That's one of the jokes in the English language, you know? Because the English language is a very funky one, especially when it comes to pronunciation, right? You have, for example, I had to teach English at some point in my life for a long time, so these were the jokes we would use in the class so that the students won't, you know, die out of boredom. In English, for example, when you ask, where is someone, you say, where. Okay, where is he? But the past tense of was is pronounced were and not where. Now, most of us who may not know this difference, they will use them all the same. So they will say, where were you? Huh? So where were you? So no, it's not. So I tell them, there's no where were you. What were you? Allah yahdik. You're cursing me out of something? So where were you? Huh? And we had the same issue with the pronunciation of some of the vowels. So I would tell him a story. I would say, okay, there was this man with this wife and son. They went to do Umrah. Mashi, they say Mashi. So after they finished the Umrah and they finished the Sa'i and the Mas'a and Safa and Marwa, they ended up in Marwa. And so they went to this corner and the husband cut his wife's, you know, that thing, right? No, I don't give him the word. I tell him the story in Arabic, actually. Anyways, he cut her, whatever, and he threw, you know, it was dropped on the ground, and then they took off. Then after he took off, he remembered how jealous he is, and that he left his wives on the ground. And that's not something. Now he decided that he wants to throw it in the trash. So he told his son, he was asking his son, where is your, you know, mother's thing, right? So the son stood there, right where that thing is, and he wanted to tell him, sha'ruha huna. Sha'ruha huna. So I would say to them, how do you say sha'ruha huna in English? And then you hear the amazing things. Her is her. Her is her. I said, wallah. Or the other one, her is her. Or her hoor is her. Wa'ani. People go. It's difficult to say her hair is here because each one has its own pronunciation. Right? So if you don't know the difference, I said, look, if that's why, you know, you have to work on your phonics. Because a person may really, really get confused. If you don't know how to make this distinction, you say, hair, her is here. It doesn't make sense. Or here, hair is her. It doesn't make sense. Unless you say her hair is here, I'm not going to understand the message. And of course, after, you know, years, it remained the same. Right? Nothing changed. It was just, they just enjoyed the joke, but there was no actual application of the knowledge. Wallahu musta'an. Illa man rahim Allah. Ala kulli hal, how did I get to the hair? Now we're saying where? Hey, where were we? Where were we? فإن الأمور العظيمة لا يستشهد عليها أو إلا الخواص. The great matters are always, يعني, those who are used to bear witness over them are the people of high authority. It's a great matter, so you need great people. This is the way it is. كما قال تعالى في الشهادة على التوحيد, the same ayah. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. So the same way, Allah, when Allah wanted to bear witness about His Tawheed, He mentioned Himself Azza wa Jal and the Malaika and the people of knowledge. And this one, He mentioned Allah Himself and the Malaika in regards to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And sufficient is Allah as a witness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah 167. Whoa. Ya Latif. طيب, so we were saying ayah 167, right? We were going to deal with ayah 167. نعم. إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله قد ضلوا ضلالا بعيدا. إن الذين كفروا وظلموا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم طريقا إلا طريق جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. نسأل الله العافية. Indeed, those who disbelieve and avert people from the way of Allah have certainly gone far astray. Indeed, those who disbelieve and commit wrong or injustice, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a path. Except the path of hell, they will abide therein forever, and that for Allah is always easy. Of course, there are some very important principles to understand before we understand these ayat. Huh? And the Khawarij only became what they were and what they remain to be today because they lacked the principles when they read the Quran. And the Book of Allah is one where you have to have knowledge of the whole thing before you can fully understand it. There are ayat which are for the average human being, he reads them, he understands them. And there are ayat which have to go back to Ahlul Ilm. Those who yastambitunahu minhum, those who are able to deduce the knowledge from there. Otherwise, you can easily go astray and mislead others. We will see in a classic example in the upcoming ayat. Listen to this now. لما أخبر عن رسالة الرسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم وأخبر برسالة خاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشهد بها وشهدت ملائكته لزم من ذلك ثبوت الأمر المقرر والمشهود به فوجب تصديقهم والإيمان بهم واتباعهم. After Allah informed us of the message of His messengers, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon them, and He mentioned about the message of the seal of them, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and he bore witness to that, and so did his angels, it became necessary, everything which was confirmed has become established. And it became obligatory and incumbent for on everyone to believe in them and to follow them. ثُمَّ تَوَعَدَ مَنْ كَفَرَ بِهِمْ. Then Allah threatened. تَوَعَدَ means threatened. وَعَدَ promised. Huh? So you have wa'ad and wa'id. And wa'ada and tawa'ada. Wa'ad, promise, which is usually positive. Huh? And wa'ada and shusmu. Wa'id. Wa'id is threat. Tawa'ada, wa'ada is to promise someone something. Tawa'ada meaning he threatened him. So it's also a promise, but associated with a torment. It is not, not something positive. Tawa'ada man kafara bihim. Allah then threatened those who disbelieved in them. Faqal, inna alladhina kafaru wa saddu an sabilillah. Verily those who disbelieved then prevented the people from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. أي جمعوا بين الكفر بأنفسهم وصدهم الناس عن سبيل الله. So they brought a relation between themselves disbelieving and preventing others from believing as well, which is double trouble. وهؤلاء هم أئمة الكفر ودعاة الضلال. And these are the imams of kufr and the callers of misguidance. Who can give us an example of some? شيعة. والله أنك خطير يا بستنيرة. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. بستنيرة شطح. Right now 250 kilometers to the right. Yeah, you could say that. Many of the Shia, some of them are foolish and جهلة. They're ignorant and they need to be educated. But their leaders, yes. No, but I'm speaking about real big shots. فرعون آزر. صحيح. These people not only were kuffar themselves, not only they disbelieved, but they became an obstacle in the path of the people. يعني, to the point that Fir'aun said to the magicians after they fell in prostration, قَالَ أَمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَذَنَ لَكُمْ. You believed before I gave you the permission. قَالَ أَمَنْتُمْ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَذَنَ لَكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. No, he's only the biggest amongst you who taught you magic. And he twisted the whole thing. لَأُقَطِعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. I will chop off your arms and your legs from opposite sides, and I will crucify you on the palm trees. And this is for those who wanted to believe in Allah. And he's a kafir, and he doesn't want anyone else to believe. أعوذ بالله. قَدْ ضَلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. They have gone far astray. وَأَيُّ ضَلَالٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ ضَلَالِ مَنْ ضَلَّ بِنَفْسِهِ وَأَضَلَّ غَيْرَهُ. So who is greater in misguidance than the misguidance of the one who misguided himself and then led others astray? فَبَاءَ بِالْإِثْمَيْنِ وَرَجَعَ بِالْخَسَارَتَيْنِ وَفَاتَتْهُ الْهِدَايَتَانِ. MashaAllah. So he ended up with both sins and he returned with both losses and he missed out on both guidance or guidances. If that exists. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا. That's what Allah said in the next ayah. Those who disbelieved then were unjust or had injustice or wronged themselves or wronged others. وَهَذَا الظُّلْمُ هُوَ زِيَادَةٌ عَلَى كُفْرِهِمْ. This dhulm is additional to their disbelief. وَإِلَّا فَالْكُفْرُ عِنْدَ إِطْلَاقِ الظُّلْمِ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ. Kufr, when you say dhulm, kufr is included. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. نعم. والمراد بالظلم هنا أعمال الكفر والكفر والاستغراق فيه. What is intended here by ظلم is the actions of disbelief and the immersion in that, being totally immersed. يعني going in, up to your down to your ears under with كفر. أعوذ بالله. Like the Hindus. فهؤلاء يعيدون بعيدون من المغفرة والهداية للصراط المستقيم. These are far away from forgiveness and from being guided to the straight path. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمْ. Never Allah was to forgive them, nor lead them or guide them to a path except the path which leads to the hellfire. وإنما تعذرت المغفرة لهم والهداية لأنهم استمروا في طغيانهم وازدادوا في كفرهم فطبع على قلوبهم وانسدت عليهم طرق الهداية بما كسبوا وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. Forgiveness became so undoable for them and not feasible for them because of their consistency and persistence in transgression. So then, besides what they had done, and they increase in kufr, Allah sealed their hearts, so the paths were blocked which lead to guidance, and never were Allah to oppress anyone. What we understand from this is, this only becomes the condition of a person when they themselves do not want hidayah. Yani we don't understand this ayah that if a person wanted at some point to be guided, Allah will still not guide them if they sincerely wanted guidance, and that Allah will never forgive them. La, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah will forgive anything lesser than shirk, including shirk, except if a person dies in that state. So as long as a person is alive, even if he has a few days left in his life and he's 65 years old, if he returns to Allah, Allah will accept his repentance and Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive all of his past sins. Mashi? Even shirk was forgiven, provided that the person changes before death. What the ayah is speaking about, those who are adamant on kufr, they're so persistent on kufr that they are blocking themselves from ever being guided and receiving forgiveness. That Allah, not that Allah Azza wa Jal will not grant it to someone who requires of it. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. This is the statement of Allah. And notice the ayah says, yani the ayah is speaking about all of the creation of Allah, all of the slaves of Allah, the believer and the disbeliever, who have transgressed against themselves. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah forgives all of the sins. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. I mean, Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, I believe it's Surah Al-Furqan, Zumar. Allah Azza wa Jal offered them the tawbah. And Ibrahim had said that none despairs from the mercy of Allah except the disbelievers. يعني لا يقنط من رحمة الله إلا القوم الضالون إلا القوم الكافرون. No one despairs from the mercy of Allah except the disbelievers and the... So the mercy of Allah is a door which is always open until the person himself decides that he's not interested. And he insists on kufr after knowing the truth. Then he has chosen for himself destruction and damnation and being doomed. And then his heart is sealed up, and khalas, he goes on his own path. The only path he will be guided to is the path of Jahannam, after he chose that. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. That's the wisdom of Allah. When they deviated, Allah made their hearts deviate. They took the initiative first. Not Allah deviated them first, and then they had to search for guidance. It was given to them, they didn't want it. So then they were allowed to choose the path. That's just the way it is. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. That's what it boils down to. Allah gave the people the choice. No one is forced to believe, and no one is forced to disbelieve. نعم. وَإِنَّمْ نعم, we mentioned that. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. That is easy for Allah. أن أي لا يبالي الله بهم ولا يعبأ. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not care for them, nor does it concern him. لأنهم لا يصلحون للخير, because they're no good. They're not fit for goodness. They're not fit for righteousness. These people are just a hopeless case. I can give you the same example. You are a teacher. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are teachers. And you have different kinds of students. You have the good students, mashallah, who are khalas. You know, they're moving on their own. You're just like a guide in the classroom. And you have some who have the will and the conviction, but they lack the skills, and they lack the tools, and they lack encouragement. These are the ones that you sit and work with, and you focus on them, and you help them out. And you know in your class there are some students who are not meant to be in the class. After all the effort you make, and the speaking, and the screaming, and this, they just don't care. They don't care. Yeah, and they want to make your life difficult, and they make fun of you, and they criticize you. They distract you from teaching others. Yani, shayateen of the class. Everybody knows them. Maybe some of you used to be that student back in the day, huh? That's why you're laughing. ما في مشكلة. اللي فات مات. The point being, you know some students, yani, even if the supervisor asks you, hey, what about Fulan? Say, Fulan is done. But why? I'm telling you, man, I'm a teacher, I know. He's done. There's no hope in this guy. Because I've done already everything that a teacher can do to pave the way for him. He just does not care. And I'm telling you, he will fail in the exam and he will not make it. Okay, not that you know the unseen or the future, but you know from this person's carelessness what he will wind up doing. You see what I'm saying? So the creation, and this is the student that you don't care about. After spending a year, 2 years trying to train him, and he doesn't respond, but he's still in the class because his father, you know, works in the university. So of course he's going to be in the class moving on with the levels, even though he didn't learn anything. You see them all the time. To you, he's like not even there. He speaks him. Anyways, so how's everybody else doing? Khalas? So this is after, now Allah Azza wa Jal gave these human beings years. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ Huh? What is the ayah? The ayah in English, did we not give you a duration of life? Did we not elongate your life enough for the one who could remember to remember? Did you not live 20, 30, 40, 50 years, your sheikh, looking at the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth and looking at the human beings and the revelation? All this time you didn't pay attention to Allah? Allah's right? Islam, you were busy this whole time working and making money and going, coming back. You didn't pay attention to death. Saw people dying every day. Saw people returning to Allah. None of these were assigned for you. After 40, 50 years of them rejecting, khalas, Allah doesn't care for them. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا Khalas, these people are done because they chose that for themselves. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ ولا يلي... نعم لأنهم لا يصلحون للخير ولا يليق بهم إلا الحال التي اختاروها لأنفسهم and nothing matches them and befits them except the condition which they have chosen for themselves. So I think that is sufficient, inshallah, for today. The next ayah we'll be dealing with is very interesting, as usual. نعم and then we'll be the next couple of ayat will be very much hardcore Christian da'wah, huh? So these ayat we need to be very familiar with in our da'wah to Christians. In the upcoming ayat next week, inshallah. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.